and then we'll get started. Jesus, we thank you so much for all that you're doing. God, we thank you that we get to partner. We get to participate in the amazing things you're doing around the world, the amazing things that you're doing here. And so, Lord, I pray that you would just speak through Chrissy. God, that you would just give her just the joy and confidence to express your words, and that you would speak through her clearly. We thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thanks, BJ. Thanks, Adventure Church. Good morning. It's a pleasure to be here once again. The last time I was here, it was about 18 months ago. So I tend to be able to get back to the States about every 18 months. And so it's time and it's a pleasure to be here. And it's great to be able to come back to what feels like home. As BJ said, I've been part of this church since the beginning. And I'm grateful to still feel a part of that family, even though I live way on the other side of the world. So today I just want to talk a little bit about hope and a future. The Bible verse that comes from Jeremiah 29:11, most people I should think in this room probably can quote it, but I have such a strong memory of that particular verse. I became a Christian when I was 16, and it was a fall time frame, and that winter, just a few months later, I had gone to a youth camp. And it was my first youth camp, and I was just really excited to be a part of something that was bigger than myself, if that makes any sense. As I learned what it was to walk with Jesus and to walk into community, and the speaker at youth camp said, can anybody quote Jeremiah 29:11? And I was so excited that I raised my hand super, super fast. English is tough for me sometimes. And was so excited to share this verse because it was the only verse that I knew. It was the only one that I had learned at that point. And I stumbled through it, and I didn't actually say it particularly well. All the kids around me could have said it, you know, verbatim and much better than me because they had been raised in the church. But I was so excited to be able to share that I knew something of the Word of God. And I knew that he had given me hope and a future. And what I thought when I was 16, what I thought that would look like, however many years ago that was, 20, I guess, wow. What I thought that my hope in a future would look like at that point is vastly different than what it actually is. But that's the gift that God has given each of us, that he's given you, that he's given me. And the extreme pleasure that I have to share with you this morning is how God has allowed me to bring hope and a future to others. And he has allowed you to be a part of their stories because you have supported me. And he actually calls all of us to do that, regardless of where you are in life, regardless of whether you live here in Duval or you live on a white ship that looks like that in Africa. He has called all of us to bring hope and a future to others and to our own lives. And so if you've never heard me speak before, maybe this is the first time you've seen this picture. That's where I live. That's my home. It's the world's largest non-governmental hospital ship. And so we travel from port to port in Africa, offering free surgery and medical training to people who have no access to these things. I've been with Mercy Ships for 5 years. I've served in Sierra Leone, Guinea, Congo, 2 years in Madagascar, and now I'm in Benin. Benin is a tiny little country in West Africa that looks like a turkey leg. You'll never not be able to see that now. Every time you see Benin, you'll think, looks like a turkey leg. Chrissy mentioned that one time. It will always be in your head. So it's a little country that looks like a turkey leg. There's about 11 million people that live there. About 10 million of them have no access to surgery. And so we exist to make a dent in that major, major global problem of surgery and not having access to timely, affordable, safe care in surgery. 5 billion people in the world lack access to surgery. It's a significant public health problem, and it's just now getting to the forefront of the view of world leaders that we need to do something about this problem of surgery. And when I was 16, never would have thought I would have been a global advocate for safe surgery, and yet here I am. Benin is also where I was a Peace Corps volunteer. So I've been with Mercy Ships for 5 years. I've lived overseas for almost 8. Previous to Mercy Ships, I was a Peace Corps volunteer in Benin. And when I had gotten the call of, you're going to Benin in 6 weeks, back in 2009, I said, I'm sorry, where? Where is this? I'd never heard of it. But now it's a very near and dear place to my heart. And it's the home of some beautiful people that I love, and I love serving, and I love being a part of their stories. So this morning, I'm going to tell you a few stories, and then I'm going to tell you a little bit about what God has me on in terms of the journey right now and into the future. So this is David, and David is one of our patients in Benin, and the tumor that you see in his neck has been growing for several years. It's benign. It's not cancerous, but it started just small, and things were a little weird, and it just keeps growing and keeps growing, and if he had been here in the States, it would have been taken care of before you could even see it. But unfortunately, there's no access to surgery for David for this particular type of tumor. And this tumor, like I said, is not it's not malignant, it's not cancer, but it will continue to grow until he's unable to breathe, or he isn't getting enough blood flow to his head, or he's unable to swallow food, something like that will eventually, so it is a death sentence, but it's a long, slow, painful death sentence for David. And the kids in school, kids will be kids regardless of what country they're in, and the kids in school would tease him and say, did you swallow a tennis ball? What's the matter with you? And that tennis ball in your throat. So he, thankfully, is one of the lucky ones, or one of the blessed ones, or one of the chosen ones, whichever your theology tells you. And he was welcomed to our hospital to have surgery. And I don't know if you can see what that says, but it's a drawing that David drew while he was a patient in our hospital just a few months ago. And it says, it's two pictures. It's a before and after that he drew of himself. And right underneath it says, je suis devenu un joli garçon, which translates directly to, I have become a handsome boy. He's so proud that he is a handsome boy. And the big picture there, you can see he's got a tumor, and the smaller one doesn't. And there is David gazing at his new future and hope in the mirror. So you'll see this a lot in our hospital wards, especially the head and neck tumors. Patients will just stare in a mirror for hours and hours. Because to David, he didn't have hope in a future. His future was looking very, very grim with a long, slow, painful death and taunting from his friends. Well, now he was chosen, and his future suddenly is hope, and it's tangible. We have our chief medical officer on board. His name is Dr. Gary Parker, and he is one of the most brilliant people you'll ever talk to. I love just talking to him, but he has this phrase that everybody knows well if you're with Mercy Ships, and he says that to make hope credible in the future, it has to be tangible in the present. So he didn't have any credible hope in the future because he had no tangible hope in the present, and now he has tangible hope. He can look in that mirror and he can see that his future is filled with hope and a future. And there he is playing with some of his siblings. We were able to bring him home and celebrate with his family as suddenly the world is his oyster and he gets to experience something that unfortunately, too many people don't get to experience, but some of them do, and it's a beautiful experience. So this is Sonia. Sonia's a nurse. She, her facial tumor has been growing for about 10 years, slowly. She became a nurse because she wanted to help people, and then as her facial tumor got bigger, she started trying to cover it with the fabric there, but you can see that it's getting more and more difficult to cover. We see, unfortunately, lots of tumors like this, and I was speaking to a different patient that had a similar facial tumor, and they had gone to the doctor in Benin to try to get some help for it, and the doctor said, oh, it's a problem with your ear, and you need to come back every week for more medication and monitoring of this problem with your ear. It's very clearly not a problem with your ear. It's a broken health system and a broken world that just grieves my heart when I hear stories like that. But thankfully, Sonia is a patient on board right now. Her surgery was just a few days ago. So I don't have any after pictures, but she is doing well, and she's excited to be able to help people again. She became a nurse so she could help people, and all of her patients were too afraid to receive care from her. Because in Benin, tumors like this or other health problems are often viewed as demons, as curses, as illness that could be transmitted, and so people are just afraid. And so people don't need to be afraid around Sonia anymore, and she's going to be able to be a healthcare provider and help other people experience the healing that she has experienced, and hopefully she'll be able to offer hope in a tangible way to her patients after her experience on board the ship. She won't have to hide her face anymore, which is a beautiful face. This is Mary. Mary has a neurofibroma, And again, kids can be cruel. They called her bag face. And why do you have a bag on your face? The kids tormented her to a point where she couldn't go to school anymore. And she has a twin brother. And so her twin brother would continue to go to school and bring home all of his schoolwork and work alongside her at night because she wanted to learn and she wanted to go to school and she wanted to have a future, but it was looking pretty grim. So she kept trying to learn and to grow and started falling behind in classes, but she keeps trying. But then her mom heard about Mercy Ships, and she got an appointment with our screening team, and there's her a few days after surgery. And I love their eyes. Like, if you can just see the hopelessness, like, there's no hope in that little girl's eyes right there. But even the little squinty eye under the bandage, you can see there's hope there. And she realizes that hope is tangible and that she can do something with her life. And she can be more than she ever thought and more than the kids said that she could be and more that her family said that she could be. And she's so excited. There she is looking in the mirror, as they all do, just looking forward to a future of hope and good things that can happen. And there she is with her beautiful smile. She looks even more amazing now as the swelling continues to go down and the bandages are slowly being able to be removed. She's able to see and go back to school, and she's thrilled to be able to go back to school and not be teased and not be ridiculed and look forward to hope, and it's a beautiful thing. This is Sarah. Sarah is small enough that she doesn't know that her feet are not the way that normal feet are. And Sarah's mom knows. Sarah's mom is the one that gets all the ridicule. Sarah's mom is told that her child is of the devil, or her child needs to be sent away, or there's something wrong with the family. There must be, or your child wouldn't be born like this. Sarah has club feet, which is common everywhere in the world. It happens here. It's none of those things that they believe that it is. But thankfully, Sarah was also one of the chosen ones. So we have this team called the screening team, and you'll see in your bulletin there's other little stories in there, and one of them is about the screening team. And the screening team is a team of nurses that finds all of our patients. So if you can imagine, we can do about 2,000 surgeries in a year, but we only can say yes to about 10% of the people that come to us. So we have to say no to thousands and thousands and thousands of people. And they come with little bits of hope left. And unfortunately, we can't give hope and a future to everyone. And that's really difficult. Pray for them. Pray for the screening team. Pray for the patients that we don't get to say yes to. But Sarah, we were able to tell her mom, yes, we can help you. And we've got this program called Ponseti, which is a casting technique that is minimally invasive if the child is less than 2 years old. And we can basically straighten their feet out with casting. And it's incredible. And it's not that expensive, and it's not that intensive, and it's not that difficult. And so we do quite a lot of training in this technique as well. So hopefully they will be able to continue to do the Ponseti method of club foot correction after we leave. But the first few times that we have to cast their feet, I mean, they scream as if we are trying to kill them, of course. And then the next few times, it actually sort of becomes fun because it's kind of warm and a little slippery, and they realize that we're not actually scaring them, scary people, or we're not trying to torment them. And it does make for cute pictures because we just dunk the kids right in a bucket to to take their casts off. So that's Sarah working on get her mom taking her cast off to get recasted. And there she is with her cute little straight feet. Isn't she sweet? So Sarah will never, ever know the ridicule that she could have had her entire life. She will be able to go to school. She will be able to have hope in a future that she maybe wouldn't have, she very likely wouldn't have, had we not been able to say yes to her and her mama. So the most amazing transformation that we see the before and after pictures, but in my opinion, the most amazing transformation that we see is the transformation from fear to hope. So when the patients come on to onto the ship. They have no idea what they're doing. They're told it's a hospital on the ship. That doesn't make any sense whatsoever. Ships are the things that took my ancestors away to be slaves. Are these people going to steal my kidneys while I'm asleep? You know what? All these stories. So they're very afraid when they come on the ship. And also up in this country, a hospital is a place to go as a very last resort and probably a place you're going to go to die. It's not a place of hope. It's not a place of healing. It's a very sad place that is unsafe and often dirty and not something that anybody would ever look forward to. Well, these kids learn that actually hospitals can be places of hope, of joy, of fun things. Our ward is always full of craft projects. It's full of singing. It's full of dancing. Exercise class in the bed. Those are the kids that can't quite get out of bed yet because they've had their legs straightened, but we still make sure that they move around a little bit and learn that actually hospitals don't have to be a place of death. They can be a place of life, and it's an incredible community that I work in. This is one of our deckhands, and he had just come up the side of the ship. He was hanging over the side, that's why he's got a life jacket on, to paint the ship. So the whole ship gets a new coat of paint every year. And he had just come up, and the patients were all out on deck 7. So our hospital is on deck 3, and there's no windows down there. It's kind of right on sea level. And so every day, the patients that are able to be moved go up to deck 7 for about an hour to get some sunlight, and they can use their cell phones, and they can... Cell phones, it's crazy. That's a different story. They skipped an entire generation of technology. It's remarkable. But they can talk on their cell phones. They can get some sunshine, fresh air, things like that. And that's a time when our crew can go play with them. So we don't just invite everybody into the hospital. As you can imagine, we want to keep it relatively clean. But up on deck 7, it's kind of a free-for-all. And so this is one of our deckhands that just came up over the side of the ship and decided to play with one of our patients. On board, we have 450 crew members that come from 40 different nations. So it's quite a multicultural international community, and it's really special because everybody there is a volunteer. Everybody is there to serve and to try to make life better, try to make the world a better place, try to make it safer and more fun for these people to experience hope, to bring hope, to make hope tangible. So it's an incredible community that I get to be a part of. And so now I have a short video to show that kind of explains how we're trying to make a difference. As I explained, these patients come in and they're afraid of local hospitals, and local hospitals are not nice places to go. And so not only are we trying to make transformation in our patients' lives, and you can see that, but also in the hospitals and leave a difference so that actually they can go and get the healing that they need. So... I'll just show that video. So we see the transformation stories of our patients. We see the before and after pictures. It's very dramatic and amazing and incredible to be a part of. But when you're talking about medical providers and healthcare structures, what is hope for them?
It's so easy to forget how privileged we are at home. Here, people do their job with so much less.
So capacity building would be helping the country build their capacity to deliver healthcare. So how can you strengthen, grow, support a health system? There's lots of components in that.
If you ask any of the nurses or any of the doctors that we work with, they became nurses and they became doctors because they want to help people. And the biggest frustration that they have is that they can't. They don't have the equipment, they don't have the materials, they don't have the expertise to be able to really help the people that are in front of them that are hurting. Our goal is to help fill in the gaps of some of their training and to come alongside them to help them serve their own people better.
It's about giving people the skills to then take into their daily practice and build their confidence and their skills from there.
You will be surprised when we talk about agriculture with mercy ships, but all goes together. We emphasize on how to produce organic food so that we can have a good nutrition to have a sound health.
Voky fahalalana sy zavatra be dia be anao eto dia anao mihitsy aloha mba ho vavolombelona n'la zavatra nataoko taty hoe rehefa tsara vita amin'ny fiarahamonina koa dia anao ny fiarahamonina dia rehefa manao ny fiarahamonina dia tambatra iny dia lasa ho firenena.
One of our greatest strengths is we have a wonderful relationship with the government. We're very privileged that we know the government, we have good relationships, and they welcome us.
I think there's the potential for really changing things here. It's a really, really good thing to be involved with.
So I just love that video because it says in 3 minutes what it would take me at least 20 to sort of explain. So what I do with Mercy Ships is this. I oversee the medical training program. And so that program didn't exist 3 years ago. Mercy Ships only did surgery. We did surgery, and that's what we did, and we don't do anything else. But it became apparent in the global development arena that we needed to broaden our horizons a little bit. And all of the countries that we were serving were no longer just asking for surgery. They were asking for training. Please, will you train our people? And so somebody, that wasn't me, said, yeah, we can train your people. And then they said, wait, how are we going to do that? And so they came to me about 3.5 years ago and said, we have these ideas for medical training. Can you make it into reality? And I said, well, yes, I can. And we did, thankful to God and all of the amazing people that it takes to do that kind of thing. So I oversee extensive programs. I manage a team now of over 100 people coming in from all over the world to do training. We offer courses. We offer courses in safe surgery skills, safe anesthesia. We offer trauma response courses and resuscitation and life support and ICU training and nursing training. We offer training for people to come on board the ship and learn next to our amazing team of surgeons and nurses and care providers. We go off of the ship into the local hospitals to do training. This picture here is a picture of me doing some of the safe surgery training. So there's the safe surgical checklist that is a very simple tool that doesn't cost anything, but can, if it's used, it will dramatically reduce mortality or deaths in the operating room by about 50%. So we go into these hospitals and they say, can you give us more drugs, or can you give us more equipment, or can you give us more people, or whatever? And we say, actually, we can give you the tools that you already have and the skills to be able to do what you already know and just do it better. And it can dramatically affect the outcomes for these patients. And so it's such a privilege to be a part of that. I spend my days, every day is different. So one day I'll be at the butcher or the slaughterhouse getting the intestines that we use for some of our surgical skills that you saw in the video. That's an experience in itself, let me tell you. Slaughterhouse in Africa, I would rather not ever do that again. And the next day, maybe I'll be all dressed up and wearing heels and going to visit the president to explain kind of how we're coming alongside the Ministry of Health to make a difference in surgical access and surgical safety across the country and across the region and across the continent, because we're all in this together. And if we can improve a little bit, it will make massive improvements across the board, really. So in 3 years, we've gone from an organization that does a little bit of training here and there to sort of a world-renowned organization for training. And I have people contacting me all the time asking, how can I get involved? And it's incredible. It's an incredible thing to be a part of. And it brings me to my knees on a daily basis, because how on earth is this my life? Next week, I will be 36 years old. And I never thought, back when I was 16, that I would be doing this with my life. But God knew, and he has given me hope and a future, and he's allowed me to give hope and a future to these people. And he's given it to you too. And my calling is incredible. But actually, everybody's calling is incredible. Like, I happen to do my work in a pretty glamorous environment, but that doesn't make it any better than your calling. And all of us, if I've learned anything in living overseas for 8 years, it's that actually we're all just trying to do the best we can. And we're all trying to put one foot in front of the other and make a difference, whether it's in our family, in our community, in our world. We're all trying to put one foot in front of the other and make a difference. And your calling and my calling are equally divine. And so I just want to encourage everybody, regardless of where you happen to be living out your calling, that it is a special thing and a divine thing, and continue to pursue it, even if it's not necessarily as glamorous as you think it should be, or you want it to be, or you wish it was, any of those things. So this season called Mercy Ships for Me is coming to a close, which grieves me a little bit to even say that. I'm finished at Mercy Ships on June 1st, 2017, after 5 years with them. And that leaves a future of unknown, but God has promised hope and a future. And there's a lot of fear that goes into every major life change, regardless of whether you're looking to move overseas or move back, or you know, your kids are growing up, or you're changing jobs, or whatever it is. What if it doesn't work out? Or what if I've already had the best days of my life and it's all downhill from here? Or what if I never get to do anything as cool as this ever again? But none of those things are true, because in Jesus, the best is never, ever behind us. Like, that's a promise that God keeps reminding me, like, as I'm facing unknown, the best is not behind you. Greater things are yet to come. And that's the same for me, and it's the same for you, and it's the same for everybody, regardless of where you are or what you're doing. Greater things are yet to come. So I just want to show one more video to say thank you for supporting me for the last 5 years with Mercy Ships, the last 8 years in Africa, the last 12 years as a part of this family. And yeah, we'll just jump right into the video.
You have done something amazing.
Because of you, lives have been changed.
Thank you.
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 Thank you. Thank you.
I just get a little teary every time I see that video, because it's incredible what I get to be a part of. It's incredible this hope and a future that God has given me, and you get to be a part of that too. It's because of my investment. It's because of your investment in this place and in me. And I just wanted to say thank you, Adventure Church, for all that you have done and all that you will continue to do as we all pursue hope and a future and all pursue the calling that God has on our lives as a family, as a community, as Adventure Church. So thank you very much for your time. I'll be around all after service. I'd love to chat with you if you'd like.
Thank you so much, Chrissy. Let's go ahead and pray. Jesus, we thank you so much that all the blessings and the greatest things are yet to come. God, we thank you that is the future promised by you. God, we thank you for Chrissy and just her faithfulness in serving you. So, Lord, we just pray just for continued blessing and safety as she travels back. And, Lord, I pray that this time on Mercy Ships would be just that. It would be a great season, that she would finish strong and finish well. Lord, and I pray that you would bring clarity and peace regarding the future. And God, we thank you that because of your Spirit, we are all one family, one body of Christ. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.